Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
First Corinthians chapter 5, the chapter about immorality in the church at Corinth and how it needs to be dealt with, can be understood, I think, in maybe four parts. You have, number one, a shocking report in verses 1 and 2, where Paul relates to them that he has received this report about a member of the church who is living in scandalous immorality, and the church is not doing anything about it. Number two is an emphatic directive, verses 3 through 5. Here Paul tells them what his response is to this, certainly not the indifference that they have displayed. He gives them instructions as to what they must do, namely, to assemble together for the purpose of dealing with this person and dismissing him from their congregation, getting him out of their midst, out of their church. And he tells us also in this section, verse 5, what is the goal? And the goal is to save his soul. There is a restorative purpose, a gracious purpose, involved in what appears to many to be a very harsh and unloving action. No, it's not unloving to rescue a person from hell. It's not unloving to do that which is necessary to save his soul. It's not unloving to return an erring brother to the path of righteousness, or to do what is necessary in order to accomplish that. You can't guarantee the results will always be what you would desire, but it's not unloving to take the steps of action and remediation that have the goal of bringing about his restoration. That is not unloving at all. And then the third section is that instructive analogy that we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, and actually there are two. They both have to do with Passover, the Passover celebration of the Old Testament. But there is the removal of the leaven that had to be swept out of the house. The house had to be completely cleansed with the removal of all leaven. And Paul says, that's what you need to do. Get this sin out of your house, out of your church, out of your congregation. And then the second part is the illustration of the blood of Christ, which cleanses us from all sin and which needs to be celebrated like the Passover festival was celebrated in the Old Testament, a celebration of God's deliverance of his people. There, the physical deliverance from Egypt, but it is a depiction of a greater deliverance, the deliverance of his people from damnation, the deliverance of his people from the destructive power of sin, a celebration of the cleansing of Christ's blood. But in order to celebrate that properly, first you have to get the leaven out, get the leaven out, get the leaven out, get the sin out. That's the analogy. But now finally, in verses 9 through 13, we will come to what I've called a necessary clarification, and that's where we're going today. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, August 3rd. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the financial help that keeps us teaching on this station. A necessary clarification. I wrote to you, he says, in an epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet, I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Here's a necessary clarification. And Paul refers, first of all, in verse 9, to instructions that he had given them, which were apparently misunderstood. I wrote to you in an epistle. That would have had, of course, to be an epistle prior to what we call 1 Corinthians. As far as we're concerned, that's the first. We're looking now at the 1 Corinthian epistle. There is a second one in our New Testament. But Paul says there was one prior to this. So this is not the first one that Paul wrote. It's the first one that the Holy Spirit included in the New Testament. But he said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. That was written in a previous letter. So this is why, though Paul is aware that they don't seem to clearly understand his instructions about how to deal with this immoral person, it's not because they haven't received any instructions. They have. But maybe he didn't give them those instructions thoroughly enough. Maybe he didn't cover every possibility, every eventuality. Maybe he didn't answer every question that they might have. And a lot of what he's doing in the 1 Corinthian epistle is answering questions that they have. But there was this previous letter, and what he basically said in the previous letter was that it's necessary for Christians to separate themselves from immoral people, to not associate with immoral people. And they assumed, incorrectly, that what he meant by that was to separate themselves from immoral people in the world. And they ignored the true meaning of what Paul wrote, which was to separate themselves from immoral people within the church. They got it backwards. They got it wrong. Paul said, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Okay, they said. So evidently what they were doing was isolating themselves from non-Christians, isolating themselves from people outside the church who were immoral, but they were ignoring the presence of an immoral person within the church. Paul said, no, you misunderstood. You misunderstood. You are applying my instructions to the wrong people. Here's the proper understanding, verse 10. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. Skipping some now, going down to verse 11. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. And in both verses 10 and 11, he goes on from naming immorality to naming other sins that these same instructions apply to. But the main point is this, that these instructions are not intended for the people of the world, but they are intended for professing Christians and professing Christians only, not the people of the world. I certainly did not mean with sexually immoral people of the world. Why not? Well, for several reasons. Number one, that's impractical. How do you live in such a way that you have no contact with immoral people in the world? Now, obviously, you don't have to and shouldn't frequent the places where you know they're going to be and going to be involved in their immorality. You don't make that the places where you go as a Christian. You don't go to the red light district. You don't go to places where immorality is practiced and applauded and encouraged and celebrated. But you don't separate yourself from everybody out in the community who is immoral, everybody who is guilty of adultery. Everybody who's guilty of other sexual immoralities. You don't say, I won't buy my bread at this shop because the owner of the shop is living with someone immorally without being married to them and so forth. That's not what I intended. That's not what I want you to do. That's impractical in the first place. And secondly, what that does is cuts you off from the people that you need to be witnessing to. How do you expect the people in the world to live? Do you expect the people in the world to live like Christians? Well, where did you ever get the idea that that was going to happen? Why should they? They're not Christians. How can they? They don't have the power of Christ. They don't have the changed heart. They don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. If they even want to live like Christians, they're going to find that impossible to do if they're not Christians. No. You're barking up the wrong tree. You're applying my instructions to the wrong people. Who are the people I intended this for? Verse 11, now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral. Professing Christian, he's named a brother, he's called a brother. He is identified as a Christian. He calls himself a Christian. We have called him a Christian. He's a member of our church. We have put our endorsement upon his profession of faith in Christ. We have received him as a Christian brother. And now he's living in immorality, and he's the one I'm talking about, says Paul. If he is a professing believer, he's named a brother, he's embraced and received into the body of Christ, but he's living immorally, you've got to disassociate yourself from him. That's who I was talking about when I said earlier, when I wrote in my epistle, not to keep company with sexually immoral people. I meant not to keep company with sexually immoral people in the church. Sexually immoral people who are called brothers or sisters in Christ. Those are the ones that I intended. And so with those people in view, when they become immoral, they probably didn't start out that way. They probably weren't living in immorality when they claimed to be a Christian and were received into the church. But they have now, we would say, backslidden, and they've resorted to their old immoral lifestyle, and they're now in the church. You've got to disassociate yourself from them. In other words, you've got to get them out of the church. That's the whole point. You've got to remove their Christian identity. You've got to remove their church privileges. You've got to stop acknowledging them as Christians. They're not living like Christians. If they are outside the church and they make no claim to Christianity, it's fine to have interaction with them, because in doing so, you're not endorsing their immorality. You're not saying that I think you're a Christian. There's no such claim, no such profession, no such identity. But for the person who's in the church, he's making that claim, but his life is denying the claim. He is hypocritical. He is lying about who he claims to be. And that person is who I told you not to eat with. That's the person I told you not to associate with. It's an important distinction that many people don't understand. Join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.